Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Circle Talk. This is Selena Fox, and I'm with all of our podcasting team tonight. We're doing this special podcast, a new moon circle of caring for all of those who are impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. And I'd like to begin by sharing a blessing as we create our circle of caring together. Powers of the sacred earth, bless us and those in need with physical healing and well-being. Powers of the sacred air, bless us, all who are listening, all those in need, with your powers of mental healing and well-being. Powers of the sacred fire, bless us and all in need with your powers of vitality, energetic healing, immune system bolstering, and well-being. Powers of the sacred water, bless us and all in need with your powers of emotional and social healing and well-being. Powers of the sacred spirit, bless us, all who are listening live and later, all those in need, with spiritual healing and well-being. Powers of the sacred circle, connect us wherever we may be, even deepen those connections at this time of social distancing. Powers of the sacred circle, powers of the new moon, be with us, be in us, guide us in this new moon caring circle. So mote it be. And we are joined by our whole CSNP team tonight and two Circle Sanctuary chaplains. Our host for Circle Talk, Deborah Rose, is here. And she will take us into the next part of our New Moon Caring Circle.
Thank you, Selena, and welcome, everyone. I wanted to talk just briefly about something that I've done that has helped me and has made some of this experience more empowering and magical for me. Typically, anxiety is not something that I deal with a lot, but I'm empathic, and I will say in the last several weeks, specifically the last 3 days, have been really, really hard. People are afraid, and they have lost a sense of control, and there's a lot of fear. So I'm not only a physical being, I'm also a spiritual being, and I'm a magical being. And so I thought, what can I do to do the physical things that I needed to do to be safe, but also bring an element of spirituality to me that's very important to me? So what I have done and what I have shared with others is what we hear on TV and what we're saying is one of the things, one of the best ways we can protect ourselves is washing our hands with soap and water. So I have taken that experience of washing my hands, and I've made it a magical elemental experience. When I go and I go to wash my hands, in my mind's eye, I call upon the spirits of the East, and I take three deep cleansing breaths. I try to be present during this, and as I go through the elements, I try to see and feel the elements in my mind. I turn on the element of water. I wet my hands. I've been trying to look at the water and see it as it goes down my hands. I put the soap, usually from a pump or dispenser, on my hands, and that represents earth cleansing for me. I vigorously wash my hands using friction. Friction is my symbol for the element of fire for at least 20 seconds. And folks, I will tell you, 20 seconds is longer than you think. Count the seconds in your hand to activate the cleansing power of fire cleansing. I put my soapy, tingling hands under the running water, and I watch my hands as the water cleanses them and they become protected. I then briefly close my eyes, and I see white light surrounding my hands, spirit purifying and protecting me. I open my eyes, and I take three more cleansing breaths, and I send thoughts of gratitude for my health and blessings for protection of others. And this seems like a very simplistic thing to do, but I'm washing my hands twice as many times as I do now. If I walk in somebody's office and I walk out, I will go and I will wash my hands. And taking this experience and over doing this magical has given me a sense of power, and I feel like protection. So I encourage everyone to do this or look at your own magical experience and figure out ways to take what we're going through and make a spiritual component to you, and share with others what you do. So let's hear first some other people and see what things that they're doing and what is going on in their world. Let's start with Kern. Welcome, Kern.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you, Deborah Rose.
All right. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world as
sure.
it pertains to the pandemic.
Okay. Well, as mentioned before, I'm a Circle Sanctuary minister, and I serve in the capacity of a hospital chaplain at a hospital here in Indiana where I live. And my life has changed quite a bit. It started with having to shave my face, which I didn't want to do because I've had this this beard on for I don't know how many years, decades, and had to do it because I have to be able to wear a protective mask when I'm in visiting patients.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I have to wear the special PPE mask and go in, and I've talked to patients that are in isolation, and only though if they request a chaplain, they're offered the opportunity. But I'm not going in to see everybody, and I don't go room to room. It's definitely trying to curtail any spread of the virus and try
mm-hmm.
to be with, but also try to give spiritual and emotional support to people that are going through some pretty difficult times having gotten the virus and become very sick. So It's been a very big change, too, with families can no longer come in the hospital. So mm-hmm. I've been able to call and talk to some of them and give them a little bit of encouragement and let them know I visited their loved one. And sometimes I'll pass on messages of love and so forth between families. But it's been very, very hard for those that are in the hospital. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I hadn't really thought of that, myself, I have someone in my family who's critically ill, and luckily for us, technology has helped because we've been able to FaceTime and see. But you're right; it's got to be scary to be sick, and then even scarier not to be able to have family around you.
Oh, definitely. Plus, it's really hard not to. It's hard to refrain from touching anyone. You know, usually I might hold their hand or be, you know, close enough to look them in the eyes, and we have to refrain from doing that because of the nature of this virus that's going around. It's pretty insidious the way it's attacking us, and not only attacking our physical bodies, but how we relate to one another socially. It's also changed my life in that my wife is now working from home. And she does not like doing that. She'd rather be out with people, and she's a people person. So that's added stress in our relationship. Fortunately, we're able to blow off steam every now and then, and then make up afterwards, and recognize that the stress that we're feeling is something that everyone's feeling out there. To various degrees, trying to be more patient with each other and with other people.
Yeah, that's a good reminder for all of us that stress and anxiety, especially if it's something you deal a lot with, is a normal part of this process. And I like that idea of just blowing off steam and then just taking a deep breath and moving on.
Definitely. It's been a challenge, I think, for those of us also in the nature spirituality realm, because here we have this part of nature, these invisible bacteria, these viruses that are part of nature that are attacking us now. And we have to, I think, remind ourselves that nature is wild, the nature that we worship and commune with, and that it has that side. It's part of the balance out there of what nature is. And so we have healing gods and goddesses we can appeal to and pray to and find strength and healing from. And so that's part of how I'm working out, my own spirituality as I'm, facing this time.
Great. Oh, well, thank you. Well, I want you to stay on and keep joining the conversation. And who would go next? Well, I tell you what, let's talk to Char, who is also a chaplain.
Hi, everybody. This is Charlotte Bear. Can you all hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
Hi.
Hey, Kern. It was good to hear you. Hi, Selena. Hi, everybody. Thank you for all the wonderful work each of you are doing every day today. People are lucky to be in contact with you. So my new moon wishes for everyone is, especially on the eve of Ostara season, is that everyone starts to feel new life. Invokes new life and breakthroughs coming into your life. I'm a chaplain out here in the Bay Area, meaning the Santa Clara County and Santa Cruz County, the South Bay of the Bay Area, where I've been a chaplain for over 10 years. And I'm also managing a growing spiritual care department, Our scope of practice is palliative care, which is care for people with who are living with medical catastrophe as a daily part of their life. So for these folks, the coronavirus threat is just another layer of what they're dealing with every day. If you're living with ALS or with Parkinson's or advanced multiple sclerosis or any kind of cancer or lymphoma, the prospect of getting a viral bug is yet just another wrinkle in what is an ongoing challenge to feel resilience, to look for quality of life, to strengthen all those, the nexus of meaningful relationships, to find purpose and value as your life has been, you know, changed, sometimes inalterably. And you're nowhere near death, but you're starting to face those mortality thoughts, you know, as people do when they feel threatened. And so as a spiritual care provider there, we come in and help people work with this existential crisis that they're having and try to help them discover or recover what are those authentic spiritual resources and practices that are going to help increase sense of peace and meaning and belonging and reassurance. So we are now being asked to reach beyond our palliative scope, and we're starting to, this whole last week, we've been setting up all of our telehealth platforms to reach patients who are homebound, to whom we cannot get and who cannot come in. The outpatient clinics that I visit, like chemotherapy clinics, you know, have been triaging patients really carefully, and we do the whole gown, everything there. Not the gown so much as the surgical masks and the gloves, and we have to step in bleach and out. So there's all of that. And then I feel like I've been living my life on Skype and Zoom. This is like the 15th Zoom meeting that I've had in 2 days. So people are really reconnecting with these new platforms. I've been helping support groups in the community to get onto Zoom and classes on Zoom and, you know, appointments on Zoom or Skype. So that's a whole new world as people are connecting that way and using, I guess, what my kids have been doing for a while, cyberspace is the new social space.
Exactly.
Also, my son was, you know, he's part of the skeletal resident assistant staff up at his college. Most colleges have been evacuating students. But the reality is there's about 25% of students who would be homeless, nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go, so they remain on campus. And he chose to stay as one of the support skeletal staff there. He's totally jazzed by this, and we made sure he's safe. Otherwise, he'd be home with us now. And my husband is an inpatient hospital chaplain in San Jose, which is at one of the hospitals that is, has all the quarantine units for coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So we've got stressors in our family. And I would say that daily what feeds me and helps me is the fact we no longer live in the Silicon Valley. That would be really hard for me right now with the rat race. Being able to come to our forest cabin, being able to really drop in each to Gaia and to understand that she's balancing and to ask her to guide my thoughts, direct my actions, help me with my reactions, and help me to know how to be in service to her. That helps guide me and ground me. Then I go forest bathing with my dogs for an hour in the woods every morning, and I'm reminded of all the biodiverse life around us. And it helps me to restore an eco-centric worldview. And those things provide me with, I sort of think of that as like regaining a right perspective for me mm-hmm. on what's happening. And that grounds me as well. And then other than that, I just really have to pay attention to taking breaks and self-care because most days I'm listening to an awful lot of heartbreak and a lot of distress from worry. And I feel that I need to be an ambassador of correct information and calmness at the very least. But what's also helpful for me is that I look for the breakthroughs. I look where the helpers are at work doing the lives of the you know, not famous and the humble who are doing acts of enormous kindness every day. I look to that, and that gives me a lot of inspiration. And I try to see where there might be some constructive breakthrough coming out of this whole adversity we now feel in. So that's me. Thanks for listening. Glad to be here with you all.
You know, I have to say, we live in different parts of the area, and where I live is just now, I can tell just the last 3 days, increased intensity, increased exposure, a lot more cases. And I would say the area that you live in has probably been hit harder sooner, and you are probably seeing a lot of people with fear and anxiety.
Absolutely. And you know, the general recommendations are for people to reduce the amount of information overload and to select your sources and to be careful about all that, you know, because it's easy to get focused on the hype that we have on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I had to make myself turn off news channels because, you know, you now have all the news channels. You literally could watch the news 24 hours a day, and news channels don't get popular by giving good news and not making things nice seeming, you know, no big deal. So absolutely. So I agree with that. I've had to turn things off and kind of listen to music and kind of refocus myself and let it go. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, let's bring on our host of Lunatic Mondays, even though it's not a Monday. And I know she has something special to talk to us about tonight. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. And hi to everybody. I hope everybody's doing great.
Hi.
Hi.
So I don't know if you were going to ask me a question. I missed the last part of your presentation.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think, and feel free everybody to talk. I necessarily don't have to be the only one talking. I was going to say, I know you are the social media, and you are really the technology queen, and that may only be compared to me, but I was interested and excited to see what knowledge you share with us tonight.
Well, first of all, thank you all for being here, and thank you, Selena, for inviting me to be part of this, and everybody on the station, and all of the chaplains and ministers that took the time to be here. This is amazing. And thank you. I've never been called a media queen, but I will put that hat gracefully and gladly. And yes, indeed. I kind of have an upper leg on all of y'all because we've been doing this for the Latin American speaking, Spanish speaking community for years and years and years. And you have to get creative. You have to find different media and different ways that are easy and that are user friendly and accessible or free. Most of the modern world has internet access now. And then with that comes the facility of actually communicating with each other, you know, throughout WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and whatnot. And Zoom now is like booming. It's like everybody's on Zoom now, which is fantastic because it's a very good platform. And being a little bit time controlled, I guess they are keeping their quality of the video and sound. So that is pretty great. But as I was saying, we have been doing this for the Spanish-speaking community for many, many years. So when this unfortunate opportunity presented itself with the fear, and I want to actually stress out the part that we are all afraid. All of us are afraid. And I think as a communicator, as a broadcaster, as a minister of training, as a leader of their community, it's okay and it's actually good that you let people know, that we all let people know, I'm afraid too. I'm scared myself. And you know what? It's okay to be scared because we don't know what's going to happen. However, let's take action and let's do something to ease our nerves and then help each other. So the very first thing that I did locally was I started doing what I started doing was meditations with our local temple here, the Fraternity of the Goddess Chicago Fortuna Temple. We started offering meditations, and then we started offering meditations in Spanish for the Fraternidad de la Diosa in Chihuahua, Mexico. And that helps a lot. I've also been doing, you know, I usually do my weekly tarot readings and all that stuff that I do for my job. So this is the one time that actually my pay job and my vocation as a priestess are combining together. So bringing meditations and the tarot readings and kind of like just chatting with people and just be present, you know. As an introvert, I know I do not sound like an introvert, but I am by definition, according to my therapist, which is super funny. And this is just the best media to be in contact. And there's a lot of people who are extroverted and they're really craving that human contact. And if the way that we can give it to them is by videos, even, I mean, TikTok and videos, people making, you know, goofing around, but because we're craving that laughter and we're craving centering and meditation and we're craving to see a face, you know, to see other faces other than the one in the mirror or fur babies. And, you know, I think it's really important for us to learn this media, to learn how to communicate with each other. There will come a time where we hug again and love again and be able to touch again. But for now, this is it, and we should take advantage of it. And I don't want to take all the time in the world, but, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Thank you.
Yeah, I would, again, share that in my own family, again, technology, and I am not something who uses technology. I mean, I still occasionally watch VCR tapes, so technology is not my friend. But I have to say FaceTime has been a lifesaver for me because I live far away from my family, and I have a family member who's ill, and so my son showed me the trick that probably everybody, all of our listeners know but me, but you can FaceTime more than one person at a time. So this past weekend, my two sisters and my parents and myself FaceTime, and we got to talk for like an hour and a half. And we caught up on each other. We told memories. It was very, very healing. So I hope everyone who has the technology to reach out to their families and stay in touch, because I think that also has a magical healing component to it. Well, they are the dynamic duo of our Circle Radio team, Reverend Jeanette and David Ewing. They're the host of Noon Magic. Let's bring them on and see what they've got to say.
Okay, there we are. We had to hit the right button on the thing.
Well, you're our sound engineer, so that scared me. Benny, go ahead.
You know, if anybody's going to get cut out of the conversation because the sound person's not doing their job right, it's going to be us, right? I don't know. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, Dave and Jeanette here, and... How are we adapting or working through this? Yeah. So on Jeanette's side, so she teaches at the local community college, and they got the word last week that they'll be teaching distance learning through the end of the semester. So they're gonna. So while a lot of the areas, like here in Virginia, so we're in the D.C. metro area, And, you know, so we're in Northern Virginia. So we're hearing the stories of what's going on in the news in Maryland and D.C. and how, you know, there have been members of EMS in the district who have, I think it's the eighth person was tested positive today in D.C. And there are hundreds of first responders who are self-quarantining and stuff because of these. So that's really affecting, you know, the first responders in our area. You know, the folks who, those of you and others who go in or who are in contact on a regular basis with those who are ill are the ones who are most, you know, getting the most exposure to these. And that's really a concern, mm-hmm. I think. For those of us who aren't in the healthcare industry and in the healthcare business, you know, the worry is that those who are very vulnerable because you're exposed so often to these things. So that's really a concern. So her college is they're going to finish the semester doing distance learning, and we'll see how the next term, the summer term, starts in right after that in May. We'll see how that goes. The local schools in the area have, in Virginia, they've already canceled class. They're done for the year, for the school year. So that's going to throw, you know, we're watching, you know, that's going to affect all the seniors and other students and stuff that are going on with that. That's sort of what we're watching in the news around here. We're not on lockdown or whatever here or anything like that here yet, but we do have rules. I mean, it's in Maryland was the first in the area to do this, and here in D.C. in Virginia they've gone to this too, where non-essential businesses are closing, you know, and gyms and barber shops and, you know, places like that are closed. And the governor here has said, you know, they're really pushing the social distancing and crowds and no more than 10 people at a time, you know, congregating or in a business at a time. And they're shutting businesses down. They're going to shut businesses down if they violate that. So we're watching that routine. And I work at a law firm in D.C., and our big challenge for me is from the tech side, because I do IT support, and it's been just helping our attorneys and non-legal staff adapt to working from home. You know, we've got a lot of folks who are just used to working in the office all the time, and now that you've got to go home. Our office isn't closed, but it's like you really not be. You need to be home, so kind of working on that and that side of it of just helping our folks adapt to this new reality of people.
David and I have always been those people that are more flexible thinkers than others, and we've always had contingency plans. I mean, even when we were first married, we always had contingency plans for various things that have come up through our lives. So for David and myself, the stress has been just the stress of having to work more, be more adaptable, having to be a little more flexible with how Selena likes to put it, opportunities to problem solve. And what have I done? It is difficult to stay away from the news. We don't watch the news on television at all. In fact, we've rarely done that as a rule.
The closest we usually come is watching The Daily Show.
Yeah, the closest we come to watching news is The Daily Show on Comedy Central. What do we do to relieve stress? And I think this is important for anybody listening, who knows other people going through this. You need to find things to, A, help reduce your stress load, and it can be something really simple. It can be more complex. If you are in a position to be able to go outside, regardless of what else is going on, even if your business where you worked has closed, if nothing else and you are able to do so, just spend a little bit of time as often as you can outside.
Yep.
Increasingly, there are places that they're being much more restrictive about allowing people to do that. Even if you just have a backyard, go spend time out in your backyard. Are you in a position to do any gardening? Go outside, and if it's not too cold where you are still, stick your hands in the dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
It has been a little chilly here in Virginia. It was warmer, and then it dipped down here in Northern Virginia, and it'll be warming up again. And one of the things we're going to do this weekend is clean up our backyard. One of the things that has helped me with helping to have a sense of control is the idea of growing as much food as I possibly can in my own backyard. We live in a townhouse, and I've got seeds. I've got those little weird little pod thingies that you get warm, you get wet, and you know for seed starting. I've already started to make plans on doing things to, A, connect me with forcing me to be outside, even if I can't go walk in the woods somewhere because we may end up in a situation where there is ultimately some sort of shelter-in-place lockdown that comes from our governor. I can at least do things in my backyard. What if you can't go outside? If you have access to any sort of television resources like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or regular cable, there are a lot of nature shows that can help you to connect with nature if you can't physically be outside, if you're not allowed to be outside. I think finding some way to connect with nature in one way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be anything grand and spectacular. This weekend, we're going to pull up weeds and these horrific, obnoxious garlic chives that we planted the first 20 years ago.
It won't go away.
The first year we had our house, we decided we were going to grow garlic chives. Bad mistake, because they're everywhere in our backyard. So we're doing yard work. We're going to do as much as we can while we can, probably do one big visit to a garden center, remaining well away from people with our trusty hand sanitizers with us, and then spend time just doing what we do, doing our service work with the podcasting, with me teaching, providing as many resources as I can to my students and being available for them because they're having a hard time. When students go to school, they have an expectation that they're going to be taught in person. Just because they are able to use technology to learn doesn't mean that that is their preferred method. And for most students I've talked to over the years, they really like teaching, having somebody in person. And so one of my goals has been to make sure I have in-face meetings with my students every class period we have a class. So those are just some of the few things that I've been doing for myself and a little bit of guidance for helping others who are in this situation right now.
Have you noticed since a lot of your students are younger, I know I mostly work with a population of folks that are 60 and older, the older population, which they, you know, they're frightened and they're not sure. Do you find that the younger folks that you work with, are they also concerned?
Not that much. They seem, which is a little bit disconcerting. And there will be further, and one of the opportunities I have as a teacher is that when I'm teaching, I have a captive audience. So there will be regular discussions about what's going on and reminding them that they also need to be careful. They also need to be washing their hands often. They also need to be using hand sanitizer often. To my afternoon biology lab class, I did have to make sure that they understood that just because you're young doesn't mean you are immune to not getting the disease. You may not die from it, but if you do, if you get sick, A, you could spread it to other people, but also you could end up in the hospital. Just because you're young doesn't mean you have a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right, you're not immune.
But it is weird that, but I have already read articles about this, so I wasn't really surprised when I did not hear a lot of overt concern from the younger people. I think one of their bigger concerns is the school part and the money part.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Well, we heard her at the beginning of the hour, and I would like to bring the senior minister, Reverend Selena, back on, because I know she's been very involved. I've been kind of involved in a local level, but she's been involved on a national level. I'd like to let her tell us what's been going on with her.
Hey,
welcome,
well,
Selena.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And yes, this has certainly been a time for problem solving extraordinaire. One of the things that I've endeavored to do is keeping myself updated with the news and, like what is said before, not being overloaded with the news. So checking some reputable sources, and as I've been having communications with individuals, chat and messenger and email and on the phone, I've had opportunities to dispel misinformation. One of the real challenges in providing support to others during this time has been to have a calm presence, but at the same time being able to separate out information that's correct from what is not. And unfortunately, there have been some scams and not only misinformation going around, but people claiming to have cures where they don't and that type of thing. And trying to keep updated about not only the positive things that are going on, but some of the challenges and I've taken part in a series of meetings over the last several weeks, special meetings. I was on a phone conference call with the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, who had reached out to faith leaders in the state of Wisconsin with a series of three different meetings late last week. and he was making himself available to be able to address concerns from various religious communities. So that was a first for me to actually be on an emergency interfaith meeting with a government official in Wisconsin. That was really helpful in getting correct information out to all of us and for us to also be able to express questions and ideas and concerns. One of the things that Circle Sanctuary does is a variety of different forms, the professional and lay chaplaincy. I'm the chaplaincy endorser for Circle Sanctuary, and I have been taking part in a series of webinars in town halls with chaplains and chaplain educators and endorsers. I was on a town hall earlier today in which several chaplains and speakers were sharing their perspectives and experiences, their best practices for caring for the caregivers. For chaplains, as you've heard from our chaplains here, are on the front lines of this coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, and I was helpful, finding these things helpful in terms of my understanding of what's happening with other people, not only across the United States. These have been primarily national meetings, but there is a global interface as well because of the cyber reality. We can join together from all over the world. A really positive thing that I have had some experiences with lately has been working with our events team at Circle Sanctuary to convert our events to online events. Our very first instance of this was our Welcome Spring Festival this past Saturday, and Shel Skow, one of our ministers, did a great job working with Sharon, our events manager, and other people on our team to do a series of workshops and rituals that had been planned to be in person. We have transformed them into an online version, and that's been really exciting. My husband, Dennis, is a University of Wisconsin professor, and as with other universities, the classes are no longer being held in person, so we've had some opportunities to get creative with sharing of our internet resources here at home as we both work here, and also looking at ways that we can do even more teaching via online. And I think one of the positive things coming out of the challenges of the coronavirus COVID-19 epidemic and pandemic has been that people have been stimulated to get creative and to find new ways to learn and to teach and to connect with each other. I have been networking with people through social media with our social media team, and Casey, who another one of our ministers, has been coordinating our social media. Our web coordinator for the Circle Sanctuary website, Reverend Bob Paxton, and I put together a page of resources up at the Circle Sanctuary website. So as we do online events, we will have an archive there, and as we get resources, we will put that there. In fact, this podcast tonight is among the resources that people who are working through the issues with all of this, we'll be able to tap into. I've been getting a lot of calls from community members who have lost their jobs due to the economics going on as part of the dynamics of the coronavirus COVID-19 situation. People who are business owners have had to shutter their business or put them on hold. I've been dealing with a variety of people who are really looking for ways to cope with the uncertainty. And, you know, there are three factors that have come together, which have given this time some special focus. The fact is there's unpredictability with what's going on with COVID-19, and there's a lack of control with restrictions being put down in different parts of not only the U.S., but many of the countries in the world. We have to come up with new ways of creating control in our life. And then the chronic nature, this is a marathon. I heard a newscaster say, yeah, this is not like a snow day. This is something quite different. And so how do we cope with the unpredictability, the uncontrollability, and the chronic nature of this? And I really do see that it's important to socially distance, to physically protect, but we need to converge in community to spiritually connect. And I do think not only this podcast tonight, Laura had one last night in which Bob and Georgette talked about their ministry work as well as what they're doing in regards with social distancing and working with social media and cyber resources, ways of being able to share and connect with each other. I agree with the idea of connecting with nature. If you are able to do it, physically go into a natural setting and be safe, great. And if you can't, well, nature imagery. In fact, I'm doing a podcast on nature spirituality a week from tomorrow, which is going to work with that particular thing. And indeed, some of my individual counseling and psychotherapy clients that I already have been doing phone and Zoom conference calls with over the years, we have been working specifically on some nature imagery work to really help bring about a sense of calm and peace as we go through this global event. I'm very thankful to be part of a community of Circle Sanctuary ministers, ministers in training, community members, chaplains, networkers, and not only being able to connect with each other, but having us reach out and connect with others during this time. It's a real opportunity to deepen our connections with each other and with the sacred in the various ways that we honor them.
I agree. Well,
so I'd like to, as we go into our closing of our evening, is to just offer some prayers and well wishes. I actually kindled some candles this morning as part of being able to share. And prayers of healing, safety, support, and a manifestation of lots of PPE, personal protective equipment, for healthcare workers and those who are doing healthcare support. Prayers of healing for all those who are ill, whether they're at home or whether they're in healthcare facilities. Prayers for those who are recovering. Prayers for their loved ones, for in a lot of cases, as mentioned earlier in our podcast tonight, they typically aren't going to have people that are loved ones being able to be around their bed in the hospital. There are limitations of who can visit hospitals. I also think it's important to put prayers out to those who have lost loved ones due to this pandemic, and to send prayers for the dead, for those who have crossed over. Prayers for those who are involved in support work, what are called by some the essential services, first responders, the volunteers that are stepping up to help manufacture supplies that are needed for healthcare delivery and first responders, people in journalism, all of those who are helping out. Prayers for those people who are elected officials, for decision makers, people that are heads of corporations that are partnering with the government. Prayers for those in the military and the National Guard, people who are trying to work through a lot of ever-changing, complicated information. May they be able to make wise decisions and also speak truth whenever they do press conferences. Prayers for everybody that's been impacted economically by this, not only people who run companies large and small that are having to make decisions about how to move forward, but people who've had to shutter businesses, lay off workers, people who've lost jobs, support for the homeless and others that are in need, and prayers for the researchers, not only looking for a cure, but who are working on vaccines and a variety of other testing procedures, trying to come up with some solutions. Prayers for the people who are impacted by this in other ways, people who have been lonely, depressed or stressed already, and this has added an extra layer on that. Prayers for those who are having a hard time retooling their lives. And finally, prayers for humankind as a whole and for the circle of life here on planet Earth. It is my hope that we all will be able to continue to connect with each other and do sacred work to be part of the solution instead of viral pollution. Many blessings. And I'm wondering if others here may have some final words of blessing, prayer that you might want to share as we bring closure to our new moon circle of caring.
Well, this is Charlotte.
Yeah.
Thank you all. One thing that's very striking to me at times like this is that religious leaders of any faith tradition are looked to by the general public, whether or not they're spiritual or have a strong faith affiliation. I'm very aware that once they know that you're a minister of some kind, they do look to us for at how to respond. And, you know, 85% of that is nonverbal. It's the vibe of the thing. And so how I carry my faith and how I carry community resilience, you know, all of that is fed and informed by all of you and us being in connection with each other and supporting each other. So I want to extend myself as a support to anyone else here and thank you all again for the caring work that you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Kern.
Go ahead, Kern.
I just wanted to share a prayer from the book of Pagan Prayer that addresses anxiety. It says, I drop my fears into your ocean and watch them sink from sight. I place my fears on your broad earth and see them rot away. I put my fears into your hands, and they are no more. When you offer your arms to me, Great Mother, your hands hold nothing but love. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Hi, this is Laura. I would like to share just a small, small gratitude to, obviously, I know it's been said a million times, but I want to say it once again. Gratitude to all of the first responders, of course, to the chaplaincy, to the spiritual leaders, to the people who are out there, but also gratitude to the store clerk, to the pizza maker, the pizza deliverer, to the guys stuck in the shelves at the box stores, and to the corner stores that are still trying to be open and survive and give us supplies in these times of need. And as a small business person who's tried to survive as well as everybody else, for those who have the capacity to buy, you know, like gift cards or pre-purchase stuff or whatever, or do stuff online. And most importantly, to remember that we might be in social distancing, but to remember that we're spiritually together and that we're together on this, and to never forget that we are loved by the Great Mother and that we have much love for each other. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it looks like our time together is almost at a close.
Yeah, I'm so thankful we were all able to connect together, literally from coast to coast.
Absolutely.
And as well as the middle of the country. And I want to give thanks to the earth, the air, the fire, the water, the spirit, the sacred circle that connects us all together, divine as one and as many. Calling on the divine in many forms and as a great oneness, the goddess Panacea, goddess of cures, the goddess Hygieia, goddess of good health, and Asclepius, the god of medicine and healing dreams. So may we all be blessed tonight, and may the new moon magic of healing, repatterning, of resilience continue to be with us. May we grow in health and connection and well-being. Together, we all can move through this and come through it even stronger and more connected than ever before.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thank you, everyone. And remember, our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, April 7th, and we'll be talking with author Deborah Blake. She's going to discuss her books, including her brand-new book, Modern Witchcraft. We look forward to being with you all again. Everyone be safe, wash your hands, practice social distancing, and we will now transition our show with a musical selection. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
You are a circle. You are healing me. I am a circle. You unite.
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.